Welcome back to Lawyering Up. It's great today. We are excited. We are in Northeastern Pennsylvania with one of Northeastern Pennsylvania's premier lawyers, but one of the most active lawyers in the political realm. Dare I say, a contemporary of our age group, too. Bill Vinsko is the owner, operator of Vinsko & Associates. He was very famously a city attorney for a long time in the city of Wilkes-Barre, also served as counsel to the Democratic Party. So we are honored and excited to have Bill with us today. Bill was the first guest to ask to come onto the show. We're very happy to have him. And quite flattered.
Legendary. So I wanted to be part of the legend early on. Yeah, I just wanted to say that.
It's either famous or infamous. One of the two. We haven't figured it out yet.
It is a loyal but small following thus far. But
that's how it goes.
Today we're tackling the presidential election upcoming and Luzerne County and Northeastern Pennsylvania's role in it. So we're happy to have Bill, as I said, a litigator, a father, and yet another friend. I'm running out of friends to have on
radio
the show.
Radio personality.
Former radio personality.
Former radio
as well.
Personality.
A lot of years.
Yeah.
So it's great to have you here, and we are spiraling toward November. You cannot escape what's coming. The Democratic field has narrowed. It's clear we now have six or seven, depending on...
It has narrowed?
It's narrowed down to seven. And the Republican field has narrowed to one, our incumbent President Trump. With that, Bill, what are your thoughts, you know, being here, being, you know, keeping your fingers on the pulse of politics in Northeastern Pennsylvania? Where's our place in the world now?
I'll sum it up by telling you a story that just happened recently. I got a call from a major network that actually does the web work.
Was it PBS?
It was not PBS.
Oh, okay. Just wondering.
And they were saying that they were going to be following people from Luzerne County. This is back in the summer. They're going to follow people in Luzerne County from now until the election and people who voted for Trump that were Democrats. And they wanted to see if anything had changed. They said, this is the bellwether of the entire United States. Wow. So I think that we are still very much involved. And we know we had Tom Perez here, as you were, you guys were all part of. And I still think it's going to get hot and heavy once we get through the Iowa caucuses and all the primaries and everything. Once that gets done, you're going to see this really heat up. And I think a lot of people are going to come here. And I think that there's, in fact, Donald Trump rented the arena on five separate dates so far.
And he'll fill it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I think the focus is here because Pennsylvania is America. I mean, if you look from the east to the west, we were talking a little earlier, we have Northeastern Pennsylvania on one side. Our western part of the state is Pittsburgh. In between is Alabama, as was famously said.
James Carville.
By James Carville, formerly of Crossfire, Democratic strategist.
Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and...
You can't ignore the fact that we are such a sampling of the entire country that if you get a sense for where Pennsylvania is going, you're going to have a pretty good handle on where the country's going. But Northeastern Pennsylvania, Luzerne County in particular,
it's ground zero,
was the subject of Ben Bradley's book called The Forgotten, which was a compelling look at how Luzerne County made the case that Luzerne County shifted the entire election.
Absolutely.
And on that point, you know, Bill, I mean, you've been involved in Democratic politics for a long time. And to Jared's point, when he talks about that there's been a shift, what do you think is the kind of the reason behind that shift? Like, why do you think there's been a shift? Because, I mean, for, God, 100 years, I mean, Luzerne County, Lackawanna County, man, they were pretty solidly blue. And, you know, so why is there a shift? And then, you know, tell people, like, what is the actual registration? Is it still predominantly Democratic in Luzerne County?
Yeah, it's 60% plus Democratic, but
it's
I really believe it's your pocketbook. It's the economy. I mean, people want to have a better lifestyle, especially in this area. You know, Northeast Pennsylvania is starstruck easily. You have a star that was running for president. You have a guy that embodied the American dream. Hey, I could be him one day. People still believe that. I truly believe that they believe that. And at the end of the day, look at the economy now as it was 4 years ago. And that's what people are going to vote on. Hey, the stock market's doing good. My 401k is doing good. I've got a job. I'm making money.
Unemployment's at a record low.
Absolutely. And that's a big deal. And I don't think it's going to change. In fact, I'm predicting that Luzerne County is going to go probably 10 to 15% stronger for Trump than it did 4 years ago.
And wow, that's the good news. I think what caused it last time, and I don't think we were forgotten. I think we were taken for granted. and we were assumed to go blue. When you had a population that has a contempt for D.C., significant demographic changes, socioeconomic changes in this community, stagnant wages, there was no Democratic candidate talking about. Certainly, Hillary Clinton didn't come here, number one, which was an issue, although she wrapped herself in northeastern Pennsylvania as her adopted home in many sense.
Never put a foot.
But never came here. So the vote was taken for granted. The other thing is that the Democratic Party nationally has gone so far left in many people's eyes that further left you go, I think the more you move away from the issues that matter to the people in northeastern Pennsylvania most.
So here's an interesting question.
But before you move off that, I think, you know, the important thing is, you know, what you asked, what changes, the messaging that the Democratic Party is using is not, it has nothing to do with the economy. It's all these far left issues that, frankly, middle America just doesn't care. They don't care about that. I mean, you have your city Democrats who believe that's really important. But when you come to northeastern PA, it's not moving the needle at all. And you wonder why this area, which reflects the values of middle America, and it's like a microcosm of middle America, these people, you know, were deeply affected. And that's why they went with a Donald Trump. That's why they voted for him. That's why we've seen a huge shift because of the terrible messaging done by the Democratic Party.
And that's continuing.
Right. It's worse.
I you look at what's Donald Trump's message, make America great again. I actually, in the last election, had a chance to specifically ask Chelsea Clinton, my friends, people who are Democrats, longtime Democrats, are voting for Donald Trump. What's your mother's 2-second elevator speech? I'm in there. What am I going to tell him? She went on for 25 minutes and couldn't tell me something quick. And the Democrats have a complete messaging problem. I think you're exactly right.
When you think about what is the shift, it hasn't been – Obama didn't come here in 2012. And he won this county overwhelmingly. I mean, he destroyed – I don't even remember who ran against him at that point. Like it was – so – he crushed his opponent in Luzerne County without coming here. And when Obama ran, I mean, he wasn't talking about the economy so much. But to your message, hope.
Yeah.
I mean, one word, hope. That's what he was about.
There
so
right.
Now you got 4 years. What happened in those 4 years to all of a sudden now people are like, they've forgotten that they voted for Obama. Overwhelmingly. And then, you know, they've left their party, essentially, the Democratic Party, and they're voting for Trump. Like, it's.
But I think the party left them, in a sense, too. So I think the folks we're talking about, and Greg refers to them as middle America, I think that's a fair assessment, too. They fell dealt out of the game. I mean, their issues were no longer on the table. These individuals know they voted for Obama. And the vexing thing is, and Bill will tell you, too, like, in the meantime, we still, just in this past 2 years, elected Governor Wolf overwhelmingly. Our treasurer is Mr. Tarcella. We have Attorney General Shapiro, Senator Casey, Matt Cartwright. These are people that are Democrats winning significantly. So our voters are informed.
I thought Bill Vinsko was going to win.
No, but it's a Democrat.
I thought it was too.
Right. By nature. And the problem is the national Democrats have lost track of what matters really in northeastern Pennsylvania. And I've said this to probably all of you at one point. What matters in this area to these people? They want a solid job. They want to be able to go to vacation in the summer. They want to make sure they can get their gifts under the Christmas tree, maybe go out to the bar with their wife for a drink and have some of that security for their kids. They don't have that. There's not good jobs in this area. So that's what's driving the voice in northeastern PA. There's no really major employers in here. These warehouse jobs are good, but that's what they're upset over. And I think this area reflects the problems within the United States when you really break it down to what this county's about. And before we used to address that, there were jobs. We've had a lot of close up factories. Think about, you know, all those factories are gone. So people are worried. And I think they see hope with Donald Trump.
And I think that's true, too. But here's the thing. What happened in between Obama and the Hillary Clinton Donald Trump race? We started to see cracks in the Democratic Party. If you look back, we had our speaker, Todd Eich, just lost to Tara Tuhill, a Republican in the Hazleton area. We had Stephanie Salavantis win the DA race. You had Aaron Coffer unseat Phyllis Mundy locally. You had the home rule change. And we had all of the corruption fallout, which is for another show. But all of that, in many respects, was worn by the Democrats. and the Democrats were in power here. I think people saw, and then add to that, that contempt for D.C.
Well, you, at that particular time, I mean, you were basically counsel to the Democratic Party, right? I mean, right. What did you see? Like, the things that Jared's talking about, like, did you see those things from the inside as well?
On a global scale, I think that when Congress lost earmarks years ago, there was no compromise left anywhere. So you didn't have, you know, the Dan Floods that were able to negotiate I-81 and I-80, and you didn't have the Paul Konjorskis that were able to get the river project, and because you didn't have negotiation. There's nothing to negotiate now. Mm. Take that down to a smaller level. You know, in 2005, 2006, the Democratic Party was strong. In fact, Greg, you were part of all that. We won every single race, every single time by big margins.
We would deliver Wilkes-Barre City 3-1 every time. You know that, Eddie. Three to one. The county would go, you know, we'd be up a third. It was relatively simple because we were informed. But don't minimize the effects of, you know, the Kids for Cash scandal and what it did to the Democratic Party. It decapitated
That's true.
And then you have, throw that in, home rule, throw in gerrymandering across the state.
Oh, yeah.
We're at the bottom. It can't get any worse. I mean, really, it's been 10 years since all this stuff went on. So now, you know, and again, we've had Republican president judges. We've had Republican DAs. You've touched on all these things. But all those things have definitely had a negative effect on the Democratic Party in Luzerne County. So as they straighten out the gerrymandering, the Kids for Cash thing is now way in the past. You know, the Democratic Party hopefully will rise up again because, you know, there are still some very good people in that party. But all those things have been lumped upon what's occurred. I mean, if you really think about it, look back.
And then you lost a lot of seats. We had seats as simple as Register of Wills, Recorder of Deeds. They were Democrat seats, and you create another Democratic leader who had their own committee, an active group. Once Home Rule came in, that changed all that. All of those positions have been consolidated into the council and the manager. So you lost a lot of the luster and a lot of the political activists that we had. So
and that was backed by our good friend Jim Haggerty, who is a good friend of ours, Republican. He wrote the whole Home Rule Charter.
And that's what I wanted to ask Billy. You know, I mean, do you think that the shift has also been as a result, the quality of candidates that the Democrats are putting up has gotten maybe, I wouldn't say gotten less, but that the quality of candidates is not as good as it once was, which then now is maybe causing people to look, you know, look elsewhere, the voters to look elsewhere?
I think that generally the advent of social media deterred a lot of candidates from wanting to run.
All right, slow down. Greg doesn't know what social media is.
Yeah, I do. No idea. I'm going to put a Facebook picture up in a couple minutes.
Don't you think, and that's part
and
of
Jared
it.
Jared doesn't think the internet's going to catch on.
I mean, it's. But, you know, I think, too, it's the marginalization of everybody's either far left or far right in the media, and we couldn't be.
Right.
We couldn't, in northeastern Pennsylvania, we couldn't be farther away from the far left. And that's not a commentary on their issues.
But here's the thing when you say we're so far apart. When you break down a Republican and Democrat, the truth is each party's been hijacked by the far left and the far right.
Absolutely.
You sit down with moderate Republicans and Democrats, we are close on 95% of the issues.
We're much more than we're disagreeing
Correct.
On.
And that's the problem. We need a Democratic Party, Republican, and we need now a rational party where people who are rational will come together.
Jerocrats, that's what I call them.
It works for me. But that's the problem. But you break down Republicans, you talk about certain issues, we all agree. You always say, oh, hey, are you in favor? The one I always use is, do you have a problem with supplying welfare benefits for people who are mentally disabled or physically unable. We're all for that. Are you against welfare fraud? Of course I am. Democrat, Republican. That's just like one little issue when you really break it down. People are like, of course I'm for people who really need it.
But have that conversation. Every time you disagree with someone on the far left or far right, like if you disagree with somebody on the far left, you're an alt-right guy.
Right.
You find yourself, you're the party of this. You're the party of that, which is complete BS. But if you start asking those questions, okay, and you say to somebody, where are you on abortion? Where are you on law enforcement? Where are you on funding for certain programs? You will find, as Greg said, we agree on much more than we disagree on.
Absolutely. Right? But to your point about, you know, look at the type of candidates you're getting. On the lower level, and I mean lower level meaning municipality level, you're having people that have never run before and they're friends of other people and they're getting in there. On the higher level, look at Tom Wolf. Look at Donald Trump. Mike Bloomberg. All these guys, they got tons of money. I mean, you know, all of us have been involved in campaigns, and I ran a campaign. To raise money is difficult, really difficult. And these guys are all self-funders. They don't need anybody, so they're paying for their message. And the one problem I have is that where are the Democratic candidates going to be? Are they going to come to Wilkes-Barre? Everybody goes to Scranton, which is fine. It's great. It's a great town.
It's because of the office.
There's no question it's because of the office. In fact, the office people are still coming back to Scranton. But you talk about, you know, talking to these people, who's going to listen? And I think that that's a big issue, too. I think bring them in.
Yeah. The other thing is it's become, you know, everything about politics on the national stage is a knife fight. You know, we have political prosecution. And as a prosecutor, it's deeply offensive. Yeah. They don't want to beat their opponents anymore. People want to put your opponent in jail. Everything is. And, you know, we had the impeachment trial, for lack of a better word. That wasn't a trial. We're all litigators here. We know what a trial really looks like. And that is the farthest thing from a trial. But everybody wants to put their opponent in jail, which leaves a real bad taste in the mouth of people looking to run for office. Nobody wants to deal with this. I mean, who wants to deal with that kind of a beating in the public sector?
Well, and as Billy said, I mean, it is a constant fundraising. I mean, they are raising money every day. And
every day you get a phone call.
If they're raising money and if every single solitary day they're spending the majority of their time raising money, then they're not spending the majority of their time actually passing legislation or working together to do things, which from your perspective, kind of seeing it. And when you were, you know, the solicitor for Wilkes-Barre, I always tell, I said, Billy was the best solicitor ever in Wilkes-Barre City. I had to go in front of the council one time and I pulled him aside. I said, this is like the bar scene from Star Wars. I said, please God.
The cantina and Mos Eisley.
I said, please God, help me. You know, I'm like, Billy, I need your guidance here. And he guided me through, it's a pretty difficult place, right? But I mean, you have that perspective that, you know, in the middle. And so when you look at, you know, what's going to happen in the next 6 months, I mean, what do you think is, you know, coming down in terms of media buys? What do you think it's going to look like? Do you think it's going to get more volatile, less volatile? Like, what are we going to see?
I think it's going to be more volatile. But you know what I think the problem is generally is, and you touched on it here, is that you said about the hope and you know, the candidates. We don't vote for somebody because we want them anymore. We vote for somebody because they're against the other person. And we really have to get back to voting because you believe in somebody. And, you know, this is a perfect, if you look through history, this is a perfect time for a Franklin Roosevelt or a Teddy Roosevelt or an Abraham Lincoln, somebody who's a statesman
or
stateswoman
or
Bob Casey. There you go. You know, somebody who pops up. I mean, look what the tragic death of Kobe Bryant. It touched lives and the people outside of basketball. So there are people out there that are doing great things that could bring everybody together. They're just not running for president. That's the problem.
Right. Sounds like you're going to run for president.
You throwing your hat in the ring.
I want to be on Lawyering
Up. Lawyering Up exclusive.
I think it was
Bill Minsko running for president.
You look back in history, Winston Churchill said, democracy is the worst form of government, but it's the best of what we have, except for all the other forms, right? And it is. But if you look, you wonder what somebody like Churchill or Abraham Lincoln, or even like we've been talking about the founding fathers, you know, I think if we called the founding fathers and asked them, like, phone a friend, call these filing, they would say, you guys are still following that Constitution. It's like, well, you know, Ben Franklin said this, or Alexander Hamilton has said, show this guy a cell phone. Right? I think, look, it is the best system in the world, and many great things have come from it. We have to find a way to give people in the middle that voice. Right now, people are nailing scalps to the wall. If you say the wrong thing on social media, if you speak out against the left, if you speak out against the right, you are completely bastardized, which quells anybody a lot of people from having that middle ground. You know, and sometimes I think people, and the Kobe Bryant tragedy, as, you know, let's say 80%, 90% of the posts were positive. Within an hour, you'd have people posting about his own personal issues or let's remember the other victims. Of course, let's remember the other victims. But Kobe Bryant, he stood for here's a professional who was the best at what he did and performed for millions of people and was a family man. And immediately you have all these polarizing positions just on the comments under the post. You know, that, although everybody has the right for an opinion, I think we have to temper the rhetoric a little bit and give that middle the voice again.
Oh, no question.
People have lost their filters, which is just everybody just, you know, there's no filter anymore. It starts with the president. I mean, there's no filter with him. But I think it's empowered people just to, there's no, people just say whatever they want to think.
But don't you think that was some of the appeal of Donald Trump
absolutely.
To the people in Northeastern Pennsylvania?
Absolutely.
Well, I was correct.
You were on Facebook before. Yeah. Before the election, you could see it coming 100 miles out.
Absolutely.
You know, anybody's really on, you're not on Facebook yet, but like you could see it coming 100 miles out. People you would never think were going Trump's way, and they did.
And
you could read, I mean, you would tell people, I'd be down in Philadelphia telling you, you guys have a problem in Luzerne County.
I think we're wrong to say it's Joe Sixpack or
it's not.
I think a lot of people found a voice in Donald Trump because he's a guy who speaks, they respect the fact that he was speaking his mind and free thinking and not a typical Washington politician.
So I was listening to a podcast, Malcolm Gladwell, the other day, Revisionist History, and he was talking, and one of the things that they were talking about is the people, the way people speak to each other. And people who are the cognitive elite, which, you know, a lot of Democrats think they are, you know, they're well educated, they go to college, they have good jobs. And then, you know, what really resonated with a lot of Donald Trump's voters were simple words and strong verbs. And, you know, you think about the stuff that he says, very simple words, very strong verbs. When he's talking, he's always, we always say, well, he never says anything. He really says a lot, actually. When, and people hear what they hear is they take away, he's talking to me. He's really talking to me. So it's fascinating. Like when you talk about like what we see on social media and everything else, simple words. Nobody's eloquent. Nobody's giving the greatest dissertation. It's very short, especially Twitter. And you got to, I mean, I give the guy a ton of credit. He has mastered that particular medium. And that's why I wanted to ask Billy, like being in radio most of your adult life, from a media perspective, what have you seen how he has what he has done to really master this from a political perspective?
He's a showman. And I always used to say, the cornier you are, the more it sells. It gets people going. It gets people excited. And if you look, I took my kids to see Hillary, to see Obama, to see Biden, to see Trump. I just wanted to see Sanders when he came in. They came out of there wearing MAGA hats, so excited about Donald Trump. And that was just their perspective. I didn't want to push anything. I just wanted to teach them about the presidential process.
Right.
And they were so excited because they felt it was a rock concert.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, if you ever get a chance to go to a Donald Trump rally, just to see it, it's history in the making. It's like when they said John Kennedy was on the square in Wilkes-Barre. Yeah. That's the history that's being made. Forget about your party affiliation. Yeah. But he did speak to the people. He was a showman. And when Joe Biden came in last year to Fox Hill Country Club, he gave such a great speech that you will never hear, you will never see, because he has people saying, just say this, or you get your 4 minutes on your national debate stage. But if he was able to just be himself and just talk to people, he would maybe fill a stadium, maybe have people come. But he's not doing it, and nobody is. And now look at where Trump is.
The one parallel you can draw with Donald Trump, he's a showman. He's P.T. Barnum. He's Vince McMahon, who's a friend of his.
Vince McMahon
has been the head of the WWE World Wrestling Entertainment, right. a billionaire business. And he took a lot from that. I mean, the point of just some of the lighting and how he comes out into a room is modeled after some of that. That showmanship works.
The music.
All of it. I think 3 days in, I think the WWE family was in the Oval Office. I think there's certainly some of that. But then when you look at the candidates, in addition to former Vice President Biden, we have Pete Buttigieg, we have Senator Klobuchar, and these are folks that have some appeal, but they're not going to have that national. This is about counterpunching. The best thing Trump does, in addition to messaging, is counterpunching. And everybody loves a good counterpuncher in sports, in litigation, these perfectly timed, succinct responses to anybody who crosses him. He's a counterpuncher. And I don't know that Pete Buttigieg, I don't know that Amy Klobuchar, I don't know that those folks can go against a Donald Trump. Look what he did to the Republican opposition when he was first running.
God.
People enjoyed it. They couldn't
first
wait.
Debate.
They couldn't wait. He gives everybody a nickname. This is all right out of that showman playbook and has appealed to a lot of people.
He did what the Democratic Party couldn't do. He took out that whole right wing, that whole Bush-Cheney right wing.
And he talked about low energy, Jeb.
Yeah.
He was right. The guy was low energy.
But he capitalized on the inherent distrust of government, too.
Yeah.
And that's why all that impeachment stuff that was going on, all of the outsider mentality, people love the fact, hey, he's pushing around Washington. So you could do whatever you want to the guy when his message is, look what they're doing to me. That means they're doing it to you.
His numbers swelled. Here's the words, rigged. The system's rigged. Yeah. Swamp. His son wrote a book called Triggered. These are the terms we talk about. Obama's message was hope. The Trump message, again, it's that simple, pointed, dramatic, and it works.
I mean, remember what he did to Ted Cruz. Yeah. I mean, there couldn't be a smarter guy in the Republican primary in 2016. There's not a smarter guy. The guy is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. He destroyed it. I mean,
Lion Ted.
I mean, you had had this guy who is Harvard educated. I mean, you know, his pedigree is unbelievable. He couldn't even speak at times. I mean, it was just really something to watch. So yeah, I think you're right. His charisma that he has is not necessarily a charisma that you would see from a statesman, not that kind of charisma, but the charisma is that people, I mean, they love it. They love it. So when you look at the Democratic field, like, do you see anybody that has that kind of, or even has that kind of potential?
Buttigieg, you talk about middle America and somebody who doesn't have a lot of money. And this guy still is on the world stage. I mean, he did pull a miracle out and he's going to go somewhere. And I think he's talented. I think he's smart. And he's got almost like a Bill Clinton pedigree there with his Oxford history and such like that.
I just think that I don't know what kind of appeal he's going to have to African American voters and Latino voters. I think
this isn't his year.
On the national stage, he hasn't been tested. I think the guy certainly has some promise and a great background. But the other thing, too, if you look at what's happening as we head toward the election, here's what the challenge to ask people, because a lot of people like to debate this and talk about it. Okay, if you're a never Trumper or an anti-Trump person, who's your candidate? That field has narrowed. Who are you with?
Right.
And they can't answer that question. So you say to yourself, well, wait, you feel this strongly about President Trump. Who is your candidate? And the other thing that's changed here in Luzerne County.
My candidate is Bill Vinsko.
I'm
telling you.
One of the things, too, that's coming up.
Grassroots. It all starts right here.
I was going to say, maybe it work.
Our 37 listeners are all going to write you in.
And Bill, the other thing that has changed in Luzerne County, too, the Democratic Party has had a new breath of hope. We have a new chairman of the party in Kathy Buzinski. That's changed. I think Kathy's going to be on the national stage when all eyes are on here. Kathy is a local professional woman. She's been on television, great at messaging.
She'll be good.
I think she's going to be great. I think the other thing we got to talk about, too, in addition to what we've seen, we saw our leading top Democratic state senator locally switch to an independent party, which is a commentary on where the Democratic Party has been and hopefully some of the changes that you may see in the future, but what Senator Udichak's change.
Yeah, what do you think of that, Billy? What's your take on that?
I think a lot of it was coming a long time. I mean, you look at Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, even though it has a significant Democratic registration edge, the House and the Senate have always been controlled by the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And I think that the senator, I mean, I'm not happy about it, but, you know, from his perspective, how could you get a lot done when you're consistently in the minority and if you're working for the people of this area? So, I mean, there's that issue. But, you know, that's where a leader comes in as well. You have to keep fighting and keep going and keep doing what you're going to be doing. And I think we are in a metamorphosis stage here, like Greg had said, with all the different, the gerrymandering and everything else. So it was disappointing. And I think it caused a lot of people to jump ship from the Democratic Party because they were forced to choose sides. But that goes back to Jared's point. Why are we choosing sides here? Why aren't we going for the people? Why does it have to be, oh, you're a Democrat, I don't want to talk to you. I mean, look at Facebook. I don't even want to put anything on there, even slightly controversial, because I have a business.
Right.
And I don't want people thinking, well, if you like Trump or if you like Biden, no one's going to come.
People take positions on whether you like cats or not.
Exactly.
It's unbelievable.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a binary country.
I mean, I put on like Eddie Cerimbali and my business is really high. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It blows up. Lots of likes.
But when you talk about John Udichak and his move, he's not changing his principles or how he's going to represent the people in Northeastern PA. I don't think just because he's independent, I think he's still going to vote the same way he's always voted and do the same things he has.
I think he's created some problems for himself with political opponents. I mean, I
think
you're going to see
too, right?
Democrats and Republicans. He'll probably be okay in the Republicans because he's caucusing with them. But don't be surprised if you see a Democratic candidate come up and take a shot at John Udicek.
Oh, sure.
That he can only run in the general because he's an independent.
That's right.
So he's going to have a big come from behind push. But I think he has created some problems. But I've spoken to him a bunch of times and nothing's changed. He's just, you know, caucusing with Republicans. And you know, the Democrats could probably have a little bit of blame to that because they didn't really treat him well either from the Senate's perspective. So I think he's doing a little bit of that on his own. So we'll see how that plays out for him. It's going to be interesting.
He's certainly a fighter.
He was in the minority of the minority.
And a survivor.
Right. Oh, I mean, John was in the minority of the minority in Harrisburg. I think banging his head against the wall a lot of times and frustrated.
Southeast.
I could appreciate all that. That doesn't necessarily mean I could telegraph where this is headed for him in Luzerne County and ultimately in his political career. But I think what we've become is this binary country of left, right. And the big thing here is to win nationally, to win locally, you need to win the middle.
The middle.
That's the key to the whole thing. And we need to get back in touch with those issues and not isolate somebody because they feel strongly about Donald Trump or they like any of the Democratic candidates, Joe Biden, anyone.
I mean, listen, there's only a few issues that really matter to people, right?
Right.
I mean, jobs, the economy, abortion, guns, healthcare.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can literally count the issues on one hand. I mean, there's some other issues that are out there, but at the end of the day, like, those are the real issues that people are talking about. And those are the real issues that are really polarizing people. Like, you know, you think about guns. Like, there is no middle ground, which is crazy, absolutely crazy. And I mean, we have friends that are, I'm a firm believer in the Second Amendment, firm believer. However, as with anything, there should be some limits. Like, you know, we sit down and I say to people, they want to take our guns away. I'm like, well, I should have a tank.
Well, that's a mic drop comment right there. Like, they're going to take our guns away. Kids in cages. These are the kind of things that people say.
I said, what would you think if if everybody had a tank?
Right.
You want everybody? Or I say, you know what I would like to have today? I would like to have a rocket launcher. I'm going to have a rocket. I think that, you know,
that's a great response.
Nobody would ever advocate for that.
I don't know. There are some people.
There are some people. Yeah, but I say, like, rational people would say, Ed, you can't just drive a tank to work. Like, that you can't have a tank. You can't have a rocket.
But don't you agree, though? We talk about, like, those, I think it was Bill Maher, he calls those mic drop comments, like kids in cages, climate denier, all this stuff, like, which doesn't mean these things aren't happening, but there's an uninformed real far left and an uninformed real far right that speak in sound bites. Okay.
Yep.
And then the middle, who they expect to be on their side. Take the LGBT community, which is extremely active. Pete Buttigieg, who is out, he's a gay man running for president. And a lot of the middle of the road voters here in northeastern Pennsylvania may not understand some of the issues that Pete Buttigieg may talk about as a result of that. But here's the thing. Educate those folks.
Right.
Don't expect them to be on one side of the fence or another and nail them against the wall because give people the weekend to think about transgender issues and those kind of things. Educate them. Okay. That's where we're dropping the ball in this country. And we're starting to see those things. Like, I serve as a solicitor to a school district. We're wrestling with issues that 20 years ago, we never knew we would have to deal with. And I think if you brought it to the forefront 20 years ago, you would have a misinformation. Now we're having some understanding, some education on these issues. That's the challenge of the middle and getting them out there. You cannot expect people, particularly our parents' generation, to just climb on and understand these issues without taking the time and explaining some of these things.
Right, but there's some self-study on that, too, because if you look at – you talk about the mic drop comments. You look at two TVs, Fox and, let's say, MSNBC, on the same issue, whatever they're doing, they're broadcasting live. You'll see the crawler on the bottom saying that Trump's saying X on Fox, Trump's saying X on MSNBC. Same speech, same everything. One is so bad, one is so good, and it could be anything.
Are you saying fake news is a real thing, Bill?
I
this
think
is another lawyer exclusive.
A real thing, absolutely.
I think it's politically biased news. That's all it is.
Oh,
I
mean, absolutely.
Everywhere, though. Everywhere.
Well, it's not
lawyering up.
How about But how about he pulls troops out of the Middle East, and the folks that typically advocate for peace are against that? I mean, the guy can't do anything right in the eyes of certain people. And it's the same way on the other side.
Sure. There's no question.
And how do Democrats take on an economic debate with Donald Trump right now? It's a buzzsaw. You have to concede. He's done a good job. The economy's really moving. But the Democrats are going to walk in there and they're going to walk right into the buzzsaw and try to take him on.
There's some economic issues that they could take on, you know, where he said, we are going to bring back, you remember, you know, in Ohio, the couple counties in Ohio, I'm going to bring back manufacturing jobs to these particular counties. Look, those jobs are gone. They're never coming back. I mean, and that's the reality.
Same thing here.
It's not coming back. So there are some aspects of the economy where he made promises that he can never deliver on. Yeah. Those jobs were gone.
Speaking of promises, you know, go back to his speeches at the arena. What has Donald Trump specifically done to better northeastern Pennsylvania? Ask yourself that question. What jobs has he brought here? What manufacturing? People ask yourself that. I haven't seen anything.
Well, and that's the other thing. So the way you answer that, though, Greg, and I think you got a counterpunch. You got to go in there and highlight. He promised to bring back coal. Okay, which if you look at natural gas and those things are on the upswing, coal, despite valiant efforts, they're having a tough time. And some information came out this week that industry is really having a difficult time.
But the interesting thing is he doesn't have to answer the question, though, because all he has to do is look at you and say, do you have more money in your 401k?
That's exactly where I was going.
What are you
going
to say?
How's your
not to pick on Luzerne County, but not everybody in Luzerne County has a 401k.
Right.
You know, some of the clients we represent, we know they have humble means and they don't have 401k. No. So it's not benefiting them. But
like you said before, are you able to take that vacation to the Jersey Shore in the summer?
Hopefully they can.
Are you able to go to the movies?
That's
on
what
Friday
matters.
Yep. You weren't able to go before.
That's the answer. In all likelihood.
But where are the 30-hour jobs?
Movies. So yeah. You know what he does on a Friday night? He literally stays home and watches his own TV show on Friday nights.
So I'm the only one watching them.
That's just every Friday. I call him. Like, what are you doing? He's like, watching reels.
He's got all those people meters there. All the ratings are going up.
Trying to get those likes up.
He's like, I got to move the needle. Somebody's got to move the needle here. I got to get renewed.
We got a lot. But I mean, really, you have to ask yourself, I think the state of affairs in northeastern Pennsylvania are a great microcosm of the United States. And I ask myself, where are those $30 an hour jobs? Where are they? They're not here. Yes, the manufacturing job, you know, the distribution jobs are here, and that's great. But they're still not, you know, they're $15 an hour. Where are the big jobs?
So I want to ask that. And you know, Greg had said, we kind of think we're at the bottom, and I want to tell a quick story and then ask your opinion on it, because, you know, not so long ago was Martin Luther King Day, and I was teaching in New Orleans, and this African-American lawyer, his name's Rich Haley, he's from Indianapolis. He gave a speech, and he looked down. Rich is about 7 years old, and he said, you guys think you have it bad. He said, you don't really know what bad is. He said, you're not at the bottom yet. When you're at the bottom where we were in the 60s, and through lawyers and law and rational people, it doesn't happen overnight, but we can climb back to where we need to be and what really makes this country great. He said, but you know, right now, he said, from a social perspective, you look at where we're at now, where we were 40 years ago, it's night and day. I mean, really, night and day. So his point was, we can get there, but it's got to take hard work. It's got to take really reasonable and rational people to start doing those things. And just asking you that question, I mean, do you see that on the horizon in the clients you represent and the things you do, that there can be a path to victory, whether it's Democratic or Republican? I think we all agree that the volatility and the negativity, how do we just cut that out or eliminate it at this point?
Well, you're talking about the 60s. That created an entire movement.
Yep.
And you needed to have people that were at the bottom and really frustrated. You ask what I see in my clients, and I'll go back to what I saw in 2015 and 2016, and I'm seeing the same thing now, is people are very hesitant to talk politics because they don't want to offend anybody. But at the end of the day, they are frustrated with government. They're frustrated with the secrecy of government. And that's why I think Donald Trump has a very clear path to victory, because this, in some ways, is a movement. It's a statement. Not everybody, I mean, I don't like what Donald Trump says and the tweets and the crap like that, but what he stands for is change. Hey, listen, we're not going to put up with people telling us what to do. We're the American people. We want to tell you what to do. And that's what he has embodied. And that's a movement. So you ask what I'm seeing. I'm seeing people that need somebody that they can trust and believe in. whoever that person is. Mm-hmm. And if the Democrats can't put somebody up in that type of pedestal, you're going to have a problem, whether it be 2020, 2024, whoever. You've got to have that type of leader. And you had Martin Luther King in the 60s that embodied yeah. that leadership. You need somebody now to embody that leadership.
I think in summation here, what I'm hearing is you may not be willing to say where you think it's going in November. But I
by the way, summation is a real fancy lawyer word, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. Honestly, God. We talk about simple words, strong verbs. We got Jared saying in summation. But
let's say this,
I'm not
right?
just in closing.
If the Democratic Party, the left wing of the Democratic Party, continues to, in some form, mock the faith of the people of Northeastern Pennsylvania and the patriotism of Northeastern Pennsylvania, they will lose, and they will lose big time here.
It's that
simple.
Agree.
It's that simple, and that's the answer to what's going to happen in November. And we had Tom Perez here. He's the chairman of the Democratic National Committee, a gentleman, well-informed, great spokesman. I think I just don't know that they've solved that.
The problem.
I
haven't wait, seen when him was since. Tom Perez here?
I haven't seen him since.
Wait, when was he here?
About 8 months. This summer, wasn't it? Yeah.
Hasn't been back.
No, hasn't been back.
Nobody's been back.
Nobody has been back.
They'll be back.
I don't think they will.
They're going to concentrate on Philly and the collar counties.
They're going to concentrate where they think they can win. Right. And if the messaging stays where it's at, far left, good luck.
They think they can win Pennsylvania without the help of Northeastern PA, and I don't necessarily know if they're right. They might be able to do it mathematically, but Luzerne, Lackawanna, Monroe, they always play a role in the count.
Right, but look at what the Republicans did 4 years ago versus the Democrats. The Republicans, they all fought Trump and, like you said, with the lion Ted Cruz and everything. But at the end of the day, they all got behind Trump. Yep. On the other side, the Bernie's people said, I'm not going with Hillary.
I can't vote. Right. I can't
and
vote.
And then all of a sudden.
Well, and now you have Hillary saying.
How do you like that? How do you like me now?
Yeah, right, exactly.
And now you have Hillary doing the same exact thing. That's a problem. Like, that's a huge problem. And listen, like her, hate her, whatever, she still has a huge voice in the Democratic Party. And for her to say, I don't trust them. That's what she said. Don't trust Bernie Sanders. He's not trustworthy. He's not honest. His colleagues in the Senate don't think he's honest as well. That was very, very troubling. I was really not happy with. You can say I don't like him, I don't agree with him, whatever it is. But when you start saying, don't trust this guy, he's not honest, that's going to be problematic for those people who support Bernie now. Because whoever Hillary ends up supporting, now those people aren't going to trust that person. And now you're going to have that just split in the Democratic Party.
And they're
all
cutting each other
again.
Up. They're beating each other all the time.
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. So, but in closing, not summation, it's Mr. Fancy over there, you know.
Wrap it up.
You know, but Billy, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. Best of luck with this.
When you do a good job, you're going to unfortunately have to come back.
That's okay. That's all right. And I'll be the 38th listener now.
And Paul will be the 39th.
Yep, I'm going to call my mom and my dad, my brother. We're getting there.
We're going to break 50.
Yeah.
You just need to have people on here with huge families.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's the goal.
I think the first time that we probably met you was not even, I mean, before we were all even lawyers. Like, probably when Greg and I were bartending and you were working at KRZ, right?
Because you were Market Street Square, right?
Yeah.
Back when you guys were fun people.
I'm not as fun as
And we would be able to go home and get up around noon.
We talk about our listeners. I put the podcast out of the car when the kids are there. I said, Daddy, don't put your podcast
in. We just watched your movie again last night.
All weekend, Dad? Yeah.
Does mom do anything? Dad's always on.
There's three channels on Jared's TV. Him, and him.
Well, guys, it's always a pleasure. Thank you. Bill, you will be back.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.